Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. Now today I'm going to be preaching from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the title of the message is this: For the Elect's Sakes. For the Elect's Sakes. Now I took that title from verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, he says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. For the elect's sakes. Now, when you hear that term elect, or when you hear the term election, what do you think about? Now, many people have ways of dealing with these scriptural terms and the scriptural truths that come from these terms. Many people have ways of dealing with them that are negative and end up even denying the scriptures and what the scripture teaches. When you think about elect, God's elect people, that's what it's talking about. When you think about election, many people say, well, that's only talking about the Jews. Well, there were Jews who were God's elect. The Bible teaches that it was always a remnant of the Jews, a small piece, a small part. Isaiah spoke of that back in chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah. And he said in his prophecy, as God prophesied through Isaiah, that that the whole nation, every individual without exception in that whole nation, would have perished in unbelief, except the Lord had a remnant of his people who came to believe the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And there were God's elect among the Jews, but there's also God's elect among the Gentiles. And that's mainly who Paul's talking about. He's talking about elect Jew and Gentile. Paul speaking of enduring the sufferings that he went through as a minister of the gospel. And he says, he was writing here from prison. And he said, I endure all these things for one purpose, for the elect's sake. God has a people, and he's going to get the gospel to them, and he's going to save them, and they're going to come to faith in Christ. And he was mainly the apostle to the Gentiles, so you can't just relegate it to the Jews. And I know people, when they hear the doctrine of election or the term elect, they think, well, doesn't God give everybody a chance to be saved? Is that what the scripture teaches? Well, here's the point, and here's what you have to understand. Whatever God's word says, it says, and we're to believe it, and we're to bow to it. Now, there are many things in the Bible that we as mere humans in our finite, limited minds cannot grasp and cannot understand about God's sovereign purpose, God's sovereign will and God's sovereign ways, and man's responsibility and accountability to God. But we know this: whatever God does, in whatever way he does it, is a right way, it's a just way, it's a fair way. Romans chapter 9 answers those questions very plainly. Is God unrighteous? Does God save everybody? The answer is no. Man is a free agent in that sense. He'll save any sinner who wants to be saved his way. Now that's the key. Understand that now. Somebody said, well, anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. Now listen to me. You got to be careful with that. Because everybody, in some sense, wants to be saved. I'll give you an example of it. Think back in Genesis chapter 4. You have two brothers. One's name was Cain. One's name was Abel. Both Cain and Abel wanted to be saved. Both Cain and Abel wanted to please God. Both Cain and Abel wanted to worship God and desired to be accepted of God. But Cain didn't get what he wanted. Abel did. Now, what's the difference? Cain wanted salvation on his own terms, his own works. That's why he brought the works of his hands to God. God had already told Cain, now listen to me. Now, Cain was not one of God's elect. And you say, well, preacher, that's not fair. Now, listen, God told Cain, he says, why are you angry? He says, I told you the right way. If you would do well, you'd be accepted. Now, what was it to do well? It was to come like Abel came, through the blood of the lamb, the blood of sacrifice. Cain heard the same gospel that Abel heard, but Cain did not want it. Cain did not desire it. He wanted salvation on his own terms. He wanted salvation in a way that would exalt Cain. You see, if you come to God seeking salvation by your works, and God would receive that, then you have room to boast. You can elevate and exalt yourself. But now Abel came as a sinner, seeking mercy and grace from God, signified by his offering, the blood of an animal, which typified God's way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing that people can't get, and what we by nature don't understand until God reveals it. Abel was not coming to God's way through his own free will because he was better than Cain. No, sir. Abel was a ruined, fallen, dead sinner just like Cain. But God chose Abel and gave him spiritual life and brought him that way. Now, why didn't he bring Cain that way? I don't know. Christ answered the question in the only way the Bible answers it in Matthew chapter 11, when he said, for so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. So whatever God does is right. Was God unfair to Cain? No. He gave Cain exactly what Cain wanted. He wanted salvation by works. He didn't get salvation. What does the Bible say? By deeds of law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Cain refused to come to God. And I'm telling you right now, listening to me over the airways, if you refuse to come to God his way as a sinner seeking mercy, a sinner who cannot earn salvation and who doesn't deserve salvation, coming to God, pleading the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, you will be damned forever. Now that's so. That's so. Well, who are God's elect? They are all who come to God through Christ, just like Abel. Now let's go back and look at some passages here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to see where Paul goes with this, how he comes to this. He had talked to Timothy about the ministry, the foundation of the ministry, which is the grace of God, the message of the ministry, which is the gospel of Christ. He talked about the dedication as a soldier in the army of Christ, the discipline like an athlete, training to be a master in the scriptures. Here's what he's talking about, the diligence of a farmer sowing the seed. And then he said in verse 7, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now you consider these things, think about these things, and he prayed the Lord would give him understanding in all things. Now, God gives understanding to his people. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. But God gives his elect spiritual understanding. And if you have spiritual understanding, you'll know. That God is sovereign, that he's holy and just, he must punish sin, and yet he's a Savior. He's a merciful and gracious and loving God. But he cannot show mercy, and he cannot show love and compassion and grace apart from his justice being satisfied. And the greatest proof of that is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christ had to come into this world. This is the gospel issue now. How can God save a sinner like me, one who's been ruined in the fall, one who's born dead in trespasses and sins, one who is by nature a rebel against God's way of salvation? That's what I am by nature. How can God save a sinner like me who deserves wrath and who's earned wrath? How can he do that and still be just and holy and righteous and true to himself? There's only one way, and it's God's way. And that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christ came and shed his precious blood and died on that cross under the penalty of the sins of God's elect, Christ's sheep, his church. The Bible talks about the church, which he purchased with his own blood. That's redemption. And all who are in Christ are justified before God, declared not guilty and made righteous before God through the blood and righteousness of Christ. A righteousness not their own, but his. It's ours by imputation. God accounted it to us. Just like God accounted the sins of his sheep, Christ's sheep, to him. And so you see, this is the issue of election. It's not, listen, God chose a people. I'll show you that in the scriptures. You cannot deny that. The Bible teaches that. And let me tell you something. It's not that God looked down through a telescope of time and foresaw who would receive him. Now, a lot of people say that. That is not scriptural. Let me tell you what that is. That's salvation by works. If God looked down through a telescope of time and foresaw what would happen, I've got several questions for you on that. Number one, who determined what would happen? Is it some kind of a fate or some kind of a force or some kind of a cosmic spirit? No, sir. God, the Bible says God is the first cause of all things and he works all things after the counsel of his own will. The Bible says that God is in control. I don't care what anybody else tells you. You read this book. And then if God looked down through a telescope of time and foresaw who would believe and who wouldn't, then made his choice based on that, then that's salvation by works. That's the same thing as, well, I'm going to save those who are better than others. That's not grace, my friend. Besides, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't. You say, well, preacher, I can't grasp and wrap my mind around all that. Well, I can't either. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. Now listen, you're to bow to God's Word. You're responsible to bow to God's Word. You're not to sit around here and say, well, I wonder if I'm elect, I wonder who's elect or whatever. No, no. The gospel mandate, the gospel command to you is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Anybody who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And you know who they are? They're his elect. They're his church. They're his sheep. Christ in John chapter 10, he said this. He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. Same thing as God's elect. He said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, the Jewish fold. Them also I must bring, you see. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. Do you hear his voice in the preaching of the gospel? Are you going to come like Abel, pleading the blood of the Savior, pleading his righteousness alone? Or are you going to come like Cain, pleading your works? And so Paul says, the Lord give thee understanding in these things. He says in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now he speaks here of both the humanity of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Back over in Romans chapter 1, when Paul was defining the gospel in its very basics, he talked about how the gospel is the gospel of God, which reveals the person of Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, that was his sinless humanity, and who was declared to be the Son of God with power, that's his deity. Christ is both God and man in one person. He's the God-man. And so he says he was raised from the dead. Now, what does that mean? That means on the cross, when he died, he finished the redemption of his people. The Bible says that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who are his people? All who come to faith in him by the power of the Spirit in the new birth. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, that's the cosmos, that's humanity now, that's not every individual without exception. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in him, you see? Do you believe that he and his death alone saves you, keeps you, and entitles you to glory? His righteousness alone. And Paul said in verse 9, he says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. What Paul's telling Timothy is this. I suffer trouble from the opposition, from unbelievers. because I preach this gospel. I preach the grace of God. I suffer trouble. They treat me like I'm an evildoer. Paul was not an evildoer in preaching the gospel. That was the best thing he could do for anybody. That was the greatest show of love that he could do. But they looked upon him as an evildoer because the gospel that Paul preached exposed them for what they are. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 19 that light has come into the world and men loved darkness and hated the light because their deeds were evil. You take a person who is trying to be saved by their works, doing their dead level best to be obedient to the law, thinking that God would save them and bless them and reward them because of their efforts to keep the law. Here comes a minister of the gospel like Paul or like Timothy or like me or whoever and preaches that there's only one way that a sinner can be saved and blessed and rewarded, and it's not by your efforts to keep the law. That'll damn you. It's by the work, the finished work, the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And any sinner who comes any other way but through Christ is an evildoer in the sight of God. Now that made them mad. That made the opposition mad, and they went after Paul. And here he says, even unto bonds. I'm in jail, he said, because of this. But listen to what he says in verse 9. He says, but the word of God is not bound. They can put me in prison, but they can't put the word of God in prison. That word, listen, that word is going to go forth to everywhere God wants it to go. You say, well, what if a person is over on some island, in remote island on the other side of the world, and they never hear the gospel? Let me tell you something. If anybody whom God has chosen, whom Christ redeemed, who is justified in Christ, God's going to get them the word. He's powerful enough to do that. He's going to send it in the power of the Spirit and bring them to faith in Christ. The word of God is not bound. So he says in verse 10, therefore, for that reason, I endure all things, all these sufferings, all these oppositions, all this hatred, for the elect's sake. Why? That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. God has a people. You see, the fact of the matter here is this. If God had not chosen his people, none of us would have chosen him. That's exactly right. If left to ourselves, we would never choose God. That's what the Bible teaches. That's why he said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Literally drag him. But he said before that in John 6:37, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Don't ever think that the doctrine of election teaches that sinners will want to be saved God's way, but God wouldn't let them. No, sir. Anybody, any of you listening to my voice, if you desire to come to God through Christ, God's way, by his grace, begging for mercy, knowing that if God gave you what you've earned and deserved, you'd get eternal damnation. But if you come to God, pleading the blood and righteousness of Christ, you shall be saved. That's exactly right. Look over in the book of let's look first of all at Romans chapter 11. We could look at so many passages on this, but listen to what he's saying here. He's talking about, he refers back to the time of the prophet Elijah. And Elijah, at one time, he felt like that all of Israel was against him. He felt like this. He felt like he was the only one who was saved. But God revealed to him. He said, now, Elijah, don't think that. He said, I've got 7,000 who bowed the knee to Baal, to an idol. And then Paul uses that to show this. He says in verse 5, he says, even so then at this present time, in Paul's day, also there is a remnant. Now he's talking about the Jews here. In other words, there's a remnant. It looked like all the whole nation of Israel, the Jews, had rejected Jesus Christ. But he said, no, there's a remnant. And what is that remnant? How's that remnant described here? He says, a remnant according to the election of grace. They're elected. Not because God looked down through a telescope of time and foresaw what they would do or what they would believe, but it's election of grace. And listen to what he says in verse 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? He says, but if, and otherwise grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise work is no more works. Verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now listen to that verse. He said, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Now what did Israel seek for? And listen, as I say that, think about yourself. What are you seeking for? Now let me show you what Israel sought for. Over here in Romans chapter 9, he says in verse 31, he said, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Now, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What were they seeking? They were seeking righteousness by the law, and they didn't obtain it. Verse 32 of Romans 9. Why didn't they obtain it? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They didn't seek it by faith. Now ask yourself this question. What is it to seek righteousness by faith? That's a very important issue now for this message, for any message. We're talking about for the elect's sake now. Paul said, I'm enduring all these things for the elect's sake. Now here's Israel, the nation Israel. They didn't obtain what they were seeking for. There was a remnant now, a small piece. They're called the election of grace. God elected them in grace. And they obtained it. All right? But now Israel as a nation didn't. Why? They sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law. What is it to seek righteousness by faith? Now listen to me very carefully here. To seek righteousness by faith is not to seek righteousness in faith. You say, well, you're splitting hairs there. No, I'm not. Now listen to me. If you're seeking righteousness in your believing, in the fact that you've made a choice, you're going to fail too, just like Israel. That's the same thing as works. What is it to seek righteousness by faith? Well, let me show you right here in Romans 9. Look at verse 32 again. Now, why didn't Israel obtain what they were seeking for? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Now, listen to the next thing. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now, what is that stumbling stone? Well, that's a prophecy. It's from Isaiah chapter 8, and it's also from Isaiah chapter 28. And he goes on, verse 33 of Romans 9, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion. Now, Zion was a mount in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem, but it's a picture of the church. It's a picture of God's elect. It's a picture of Christ's sheep. And he says, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him. You see that there in Romans 9:33? That stumbling stone is not an it. It's a him. He says, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So to seek righteousness by faith is to seek righteousness in a person. Now, who is that person? We'll look at Romans 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. There's a knowledge they're missing. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, verse 4 is key. For Christ is the end. That word end means the finishing, the completing. Of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You see that? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. That stumbling stone is Christ. And all who are seeking salvation by their works will stumble over him because he will not accept that. He doesn't preach that. He doesn't represent that. To seek righteousness by faith is to seek righteousness in Christ. And that's what Paul was doing in preaching the gospel for the very elect's sake. The elect are going to come to know that. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul writes this. He says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." What's he saying there? He's saying that all whom God loves, all whom God chose in Christ, will be born again by the Spirit. That's what sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth is. That's the new birth, regeneration by the Spirit. So back here in 2 Timothy 2, Paul writes, he says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now, what is Paul doing? He's a missionary. He's evangelizing. You know, I've heard people say, "Well, if I believed in election, I wouldn't go preach. I wouldn't go to missions or evangelize." Paul says, that's the reason I'm doing it. You see how skewed men's reasoning are? They look at the doctrines of grace in the Scripture, and then they determine, well, man's not responsible. He's not accountable. Doesn't matter what we do. Oh, no. Paul says the Word of God's not bound. I'm going out and preaching. I'm suffering these things for the very elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation and which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You see, election is not a deterrent to evangelism and witnessing. Election to Paul and to all of God's people is the very reason we're evangelizing and we send out missionaries and we preach them. That's why I'm preaching the gospel. I want to see sinners come to salvation. I don't know who they are. Somebody said, "Well, if I believe election, I just preach to only the elect." You don't know who the elect are. But brother, God does, and we preach the gospel. Well, I hope this message has helped you to understand these scriptures and this truth. If you would like to have a copy of this message, listen to the announcer as he gives you the details. The title of this message is "For the Elect's Sakes." And I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.